For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Hey guys, welcome to the LA Auto Show. And as always, I have my buddy, Moto Man.
Sir, thanks for having me on. Actually, welcome to my hometown.
I am so happy to be here, Moto Man. And if you guys have been following us, you know that me and Moto Man do a walk around of the show, show you the coolest new vehicles, but at the same time, we kind of talk about the state of the automotive industry.
We bring it up to 30,000 foot, we talk trends, and we try to predict the future.
Yeah, we're gonna look at brands, see how they're doing, see what cars are good, what cars are not so good. So let's start with the good, and this is right here. This is the brand new Jeep Wrangler 41 Willys, or do you say Willis? And this is kind of, as you can see, Andre, if you point the camera over there, this is kind of inspired by, of course, the original World War II Jeep. And what do you think? I love this color, man.
I got to tell you, I love the design. Basically, they've got the retro going, but notice they did something interesting.
The wheels.
The wheels. They try to do what the wheel is here, but really, it's kind of a modern-day monoblock. But it's not a monoblock like the AMGs do, where it's like 21 inches. It's got actual sidewalls.
And 2 minutes into the podcast, we're already talking Mercedes.
It's an addiction.
But you're right. Yeah. You know, for a long time, we've had these kind of like fake steelies, but I like this.
I love this.
Different. It's something
it's
different.
It's awesome. And a matter of fact, I could see them doing this on future special editions, like make them white in color, to stand out with different designs, like the Bronco does.
And this is, of course, one of the shining stars of the, let's say, Stellantis slap Jeep fleet, because this is the 4xe. And you remember when this came out, people were like, I don't know if I want to plug-in hybrid Wrangler, and now this is their most popular car.
I remember when you left Nathan in the dust off-road.
Yes.
How long ago was that video?
Oh, God, 4 years, something like that?
I can't believe it.
I know.
Okay, but true, this is just me as a car geek. Do these really work off-road?
Yeah, they work great. Yeah, they don't go as far as you think. We took one up Red Cone, and it only made it 3 miles going straight up before it ran out of energy.
And what's the trade-off? What do you lose?
Well, you gain weight. You gain complexity, and you gain tax credits, at least for now, because this is considered an electric vehicle, right? Because it's a plug-in hybrid. And so the 4xe has become Jeep's best-selling Wrangler. It's the one that, you know, if you go to a Jeep dealer, that they have a ton of.
So for you and Andre, the biggest attraction is you have weight going off-road.
Yeah, but it's a plug-in hybrid. The battery's pretty small. I think it gets like 25 miles of range. It's not huge. You also gain these buttons over here. Which are kind of interesting. So there's a hybrid button. Andre, you can show them. There's an electric button, and then there's an e-save. So, of course, the e-save is if you want to keep the electric power for, like, if you want to hear the babbling brook or the, you know, call of the moose as you're off-roading, you don't have the engine note. Or if you live in Europe, you can save it for the city experience.
So let's bring up, this is, I think, our first trend.
Yes.
So there's a lot of plug-in hybrids. Just not but a week ago, I was driving the S63 Performance. I was on the International Drive, but it's the first time I actually had a lot of time with it. And what we're seeing now, if you have these plug-in hybrids in Europe, they will charge as you're driving, because the way the European cycle works, it doesn't work against it if it actually drains some of the power to charge the battery. In the US, they don't do that. And most of them have switched off the ability to charge while you're driving, even these small batteries. I think we put this out to the audience. What would you rather see? Would you give up a little MPG to get some battery charged while you're driving, or do you want to go with which I think is unrealistic EPA cycles of MPG?
No, well, most electric car aficionados would say that there's no such thing as a self-charging car, right? Because you're still using petroleum to charge the vehicle. So yes, it does charge the battery, but it's not a very efficient way of charging it.
Well, think about it from the efficient use of energy. Like in the case of that S63 Performance, that car was not designed to, and here we are going AMG. That car wasn't designed to be really fuel efficient. It was designed
right,
for performance.
Performance.
So what I do is I use the engine in the cases where it's more efficient to use the gas engine. So like on, this is in Florida. In 995, I was using the gas engine. But once I got off the freeway, I would use the electricity. I'd like to have the ability to charge while I'm going up from Miami to Palm Beach on 95 and then drive on electric. That's what I'm looking
for. I think this is why plug-in hybrids have become so popular, right? Only second to extended range vehicles, range extenders, right? Where you actually, like the i3, where you actually have a motor that can power the car. But let's talk about Stellantis, and let's talk about, I think, the one brand in all this auto show that has the biggest challenge. And that is, how do you convince guys and gals who love Hemis to go for either a straight six turbo, or in this case, an all electric?
There's two answers there.
Hey, podcast listeners and TFL Talk viewers. I wanted to take a minute to talk to you about a quick and simple way to sell your car or truck with the help of our new partner, HiRoad. With HiRoad's online portal, you enter your vehicle's VIN number or plate, mileage, and zip code, and you'll get competing offers from several qualified dealers in your area within seconds. You pick the best deal offered and follow through with the dealer to sell your car. No more managing scammy emails from buyers on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace. No more time wasted on no-show buyers. No bait and switch with a "will you take a check" excuse from sketchy buyers. Now keep in mind, these offers will be for trade-in values of your vehicle. If you want to go through the hassle of getting more for your car, that's up to you. But if you want to sell your car hassle-free and fast, go to tflcar.com and click Sell Your Car in the navigation menu. Or click on the HiRoad ad at the bottom of the website if you're on mobile, or click on the column if you're on a desktop. HiRoad makes it easy, and we like easy.
Answer number one, you can potentially get them into the idea of the straight six.
Yep.
You cannot cross the bridge of getting someone from a Hemi to an electric. It's just not going to happen.
And as you know, Tim Kuniskis, who led the Dodge brand for a long time, is gone. In fact, much of the leadership team of Stellantis, among all the brands, has left, right? The Jeep execs are gone, or have been switched out. And I think this brand is really going to be struggling, because this is the one brand that's going to have the hardest time getting their buyers to go electric.
So there's a couple of things going on there. First and foremost, this was a great way. This is the best advertising for Ford, because what you've done is you've given those customers over to Ford, because they're the only ones that have a muscle car now. Or
you're the Mustang, see, right? That's
the
all.
Mustang. That's it.
Last
or you're going to get the guy. These things weren't cheap. These things were like 80, 90 grand in the highest performance versions. At 80, 90 grand, that's when you can start looking at M3s and M4s. You know, the base price of an M4 is $79,000. Yeah, what was a red eye? It was 80. So now I think those people would be open to cars they normally wouldn't have been open to. As far as the six-cylinder, that's a different story. I think
the
there's
Hurricane.
A case to be made.
Yeah.
And I just actually, so we just did World Car Test Drives.
Yes.
And so we got early access to the CLE 50, again, I'm with the AMGs,
right.
CLE 53, which is exactly that kind of car. It's a coupe, but it's got an inline six with an integrated starter generator motor. And I got to tell you, it is a V8 replacement, the way they've tuned it. And the car, the shell is so stiff, you don't
How
think
do
it's... How
do you know for Mercedes again?
I know, I'm sorry.
You are interested.
But it is literally the kind of person that was buying that car would consider the CLE 53.
Look, Mercedes has always built like the German muscle car, right? You look at the G-Wagon, you look at a lot of the AMGs, those have always been muscle cars. But let's not talk about Mercedes because they're not here. Yes, Andre?
I just realized... We have the first chassis. We've never seen this before. This is the range extended Ram.
Oh, holy cow. Andre, the truck guy.
Sorry.
So let's talk about
this. He's hijacked it.
He's
but I'm still getting back to that AMG.
All right, so let's talk about this. So this is the chassis for the...
You would think
that this would be the Ram REV, right? Yeah. Like range extended vehicle, but it's not. In the truck world, for some reason, Ram has decided to call their range extender the Charger and the battery truck the REV. I don't know why, it seems confusing, but this is the chassis. So that's cool, Andre. We could do a whole video on this. This is a car podcast.
So this is the battery?
Yes. And there's a fuel tank.
Both of you guys have hijacked
okay.
My podcast.
Let's press on. Yeah. I'm going to show you cool cars.
Hold on.
I'm still not done with this.
Hold on. Let's talk about some other things, right?
You want to talk Chrysler. About a minivan?
No, I want to talk about Stellantis, because how many cars does Chrysler have to sell?
Right here.
Exactly.
It's not really a car.
Yeah. How many cars does Dodge have to sell? None, right?
Yeah.
Now. None, right? How many cars does Fiat have to sell? Right? They're right here.
Oh, excuse
right.
me. The Gucci Hornet. Edition.
Hornet. Excuse me.
We're going to get to that.
We'll get to the Hornet.
We're going to get to that special case. But let's think about this. How much numbers you want to share with your audience? But the volume of this segment is 100,000 units a year. All of them, not just the Chrysler.
You mean the Pacifica, or you mean all minivans?
All of them.
Yeah.
So you're not talking about something that's huge volume. Where as a basis of comparison, a Toyota RAV4, they sell 350,000 a year.
And for a long time, they did have the only hybrid, but that's gone now.
Exactly.
They've lost that. Advantage.
So basically what you're getting to, I think this is where
I want to see what that
where
is.
Roman is alluding to. You what want to go to this one here?
What the hell is that thing? Look at that little Fiat. You know Case, who works
yes.
on our team?
Yeah.
Guess what? He just leased a 500E.
So like $3 a month?
No, it was like, do you remember, Andre, was it, how much did he go for?
$19 a
month. $19 a month. Wow. He just leased, plus like $600 or something.
My Verizon bill is more than that.
Yeah, they actually, this is sad. They actually had to stop production because they just couldn't sell them. This is the problem with a lot of Stellantis. We were talking about the Hornet, right? 500-day supply, 500.
We haven't even gotten, you gave away the headline. I wanted to have that surprise when we saw the car.
Look at this thing.
Okay, take that back. You guys didn't hear that.
Look at this thing. Now, this is so cute.
This is a real car.
This is a real
it's
car?
It's just, it's branded as a Fiat here. Yeah.
I want it. Take my money. Yeah,
haven't you made bad decisions about these things before?
Oh, look how cute that is.
Yeah, but you've lost a pile of dough buying cars.
Look, it's got a little sunroof. Look at that.
It's got like a sunroof on a sunroof.
It's got a sunroof. It's got a sunroof on a sunroof.
It's got like a zipper sunroof.
Oh my God, this is so cute. This should be in the front.
You can't even fit in this thing.
I can fit in it.
Perfectly.
Yeah. You think this is keeping people out, or you think this is really the way?
This is like the modern day Fiat Jolly. Yeah.
You think that's the door?
I wish.
Hey, Kim, how are you? Hold on, let me get Kim. Hold on, now you're going to be on my podcast.
Hi.
Are you Kim? You're not Kim. Never
no,
mind.
Not
yeah, she's
no,
not
you
Kim.
Thought you were Kim. He thought you were Kim Java.
I only saw her legs.
Yeah.
Thanks,
this is what happens, you see. Women don't talk to Roman, so he thinks every woman is Kim Java.
Oh, for God's sakes. I only saw the bottom part. And you said Kim, so I just assumed.
I didn't say Kim.
All right. Oh, somebody said Kim.
Okay. Can we go back to what we were saying?
Let's keep going.
Okay.
Let's keep walking.
So really, what we're getting to...
Rose Gold 500E.
Gucci edition.
Ooh! I don't care.
And you know what? No one else is going to care. So here's the thing. This is what he's trying to get at. Can Stellantis survive?
Can they survive? That is a very...
That's
astute.
The issue.
That's the question.
So, you know, let's just put it right out there. There was an election.
There was an election.
No matter which way you wanted the election to go, he and I agree, and you can argue with us in the comments below, 2025 is going to be a tough year financially.
Economically,
it's going to be a tough year.
It's going to be hard.
We're going to have to get through some crap together. And the question is, can these guys weather the storm?
I don't know. Carlos basically put together a bunch of companies. This is the CEO of Stellantis, right?
Who's retiring. He's already announced his retirement.
Yeah, but what he did was he put together Peugeot and then added on all the American
all the fleas,
right?
Put them all together.
And then he like did it, and then I kind of feel like he didn't know what to do with it once he did it. You know?
So you're saying the dog caught the car.
Yeah, yeah. He did it, but then like, oh, now what do I do with it? And I think Sergio, who used to be the CEO of FCA at the time, right, understood that Alfa Romeo, Jeep, and Ram were the jewels in the crown. So he understood the value of those brands. I'm not sure Carlos understood that or understands that. Because there's just no excitement right now, or no new product that those guys are pumping out, right? Andre knows the two trucks, the Charger, and the REV
there.
Are delayed. The Hornet isn't what was the Alfa Romeo.
Well, this is the Alfa Romeo.
Right, but it's the Hornet that rebranded Alfa Romeo.
Let me interpret this from you.
The Tonale.
The Tonale, and then you got the Hornet. Let me interpret this from you. So
gorgeous
if you look
colors.
At the two executives,
yeah.
you can't argue that Carlos, absolute consummate deal maker. Where Sergio, he was a brash businessman that understood cars.
Yeah.
And as a result, we got some cool cars out of him. But the problem we have nowadays is this company was put together, I joked around and called it a bag of fleas, but they effectively put all of the problem children together that are most exposed to union labor agreements, that are most exposed to the highest cost of manufacturing. There's no efficiencies in the company. So what they do is they take cars like the Tonale, which wasn't designed to be an inexpensive car.
And make it into
And they tried to make it into a cheap car.
Hornet.
And the problem is no one wanted either.
Yeah.
That's an example of what happens when you put all the wrong pieces together.
Yeah, and I think the numbers speak to that. You know what I'm saying? What is this, by the way?
Let's give the number. I think we need to qualify that number before. Yeah. So he gave away what I wanted to say, where the Hornet's over there. So the Hornet... Well, let me step back.
Hold on. Let's just show this thing.
This is the Haseon concept.
Oh, my God.
This is what Chrysler is supposed to be in the future.
Oh.
Judge Dredd kind of a car. So this was a concept that was put together by Ralph Scheel. Now, let's be very clear about something. Let's be very, very clear about something. We may disagree with Carlos. We may disagree with Carlos.
Yeah.
But we love the people who design, engineer, and build the cars.
Yeah, they're great.
They're amazing. Yeah. And
the whole team is amazing.
They've been there for 30 years. Yeah, Ralph's been there for 32 years.
Yeah, no, the team is
amazing.
And
the thing is, no matter who manages it, they still come up with cool designs.
And look, dude, you know why they're amazing? A bunch of them got poached by Rivian, and they built a really good-looking, you know, R1S and R1T.
And Scout, too. Yeah, Bruce Benjamin.
Scout, yeah, I know.
And a whole design team came from Jeep.
Yeah,
excuse us.
Exactly. What happened to the airflow? Where's that gone? It's buried deep in some...
It's in Connor Avenue, where they had all the Vipers.
Yes.
That's where it is.
Buried in some
That's where the good stuff goes to die. Or really hidden. Let's go over here.
You want to look at Cadillac?
Yeah, I want to look at Cadillac.
What do you think of Cadillac? Are they in trouble or are they rocking it?
I think Cadillac's doing pretty well right now.
I mean, they jumped in kind of the EV pool with the deep end.
A little too hard.
Yeah.
A little too hard.
You got the Lyric.
I just point out the Cadillac? Remember when it came out, the one they showed was the gray and silver?
Yeah.
Terrible color.
These
are the two best colors on this car,
which
make the design work.
And I don't know if you can see it on the camera, but it's dark in here. The lighting is horrible for these cars.
And that color just pops.
And yet both the colors.
Yeah,
that's like the most beautiful blue.
These two, stunning, stunning. You know I'm biased on blue.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
And for those of you guys who are listening, this is the Lyric in a dark...
red tin coat.
Almost like crystal metallic. It's very similar.
Red tin coat.
What do they call the...
I have no idea, but it's a beautiful color. Beautiful.
And over here we have the new...
And hold on a minute. This is the first electric V. Not this one, but they're going to make a V.
Yeah.
I personally think it's a marketing exercise. I can't see how they're going to make this heavy car into a V. I think it's the wrong thing to do. And I personally think Tony Roma got his arm twisted to do it.
Well, I mean, look, if you want to make an electric car into a V, it's pretty straightforward, right? You just turn up the wick, right? You can increase the size of the motor, you can increase the size of the power going to the motor. The trick becomes, how do you hide the weight and how do you make it track-worthy?
Well, I'm going to give you two examples of one works, one doesn't. And they're the same car.
Yeah.
EV6, Hyundai Ioniq 5N.
Yeah.
EV6 was just, let's turn the wick up and don't change anything. Hyundai Ioniq 5 was like, you know what? How do you make a fast car go fast? How do you make a driver better? And you have to give them inputs. You got to give them data. That's sound as well as changing the torque profiles. And that's why the Ioniq 5N works.
I like how you just walked past the electric Escalade.
Well, I do want to talk about this. I just got excited about the Ioniq 5N. We drove it on Laguna Seca.
Andre, I'm going to do this. Hold on. I'm putting my mic on Andre. You and Moto Man talk about the Escalade because you're the truck guy.
Oh.
Okay, yes. Tell us about this.
Well, this is basically a Silverado EV or a Hummer EV in Cadillac Escalade clothing, right?
I think you're rolling in 24s there.
At least.
Wow. What does this thing weigh, Andre?
1,000,000 pounds.
At least?
9,000 pounds.
Seriously? Really 9,000
pounds? Yes, 9,000 pounds.
That is three times the weight of my car. Three
times. Yes. But does it matter, Motorman? Because look at this face. It's gigantic. It's in your face. It shows that you have arrived.
It is indeed bold styling. Like, this is the Cadillac kind of swagger of the 50s. I'll give him that. And you brought up a huge point. This is built on the Silverado platform. I give credit to General Motors for doing, basically living the EV lifestyle, meaning let's have a platform here and then make disparate bodies on the same platform, which makes the car stand out. Like this, no piece of sheet metal is shared with a pickup truck. No piece of sheet metal is there shared with a Blazer EV, but that's a Blazer EV.
I think this is your favorite, I'm guessing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm guessing this is your car.
But look at the build. It's like a Golf livery blue, a little bit, it's got a little gray in it.
All right, this or M3. We're looking at the Blackwing CT...
CT5V Blackwing.
So,
and you're probably not going to agree with me, but I'll give you the why. I would say this because I think this has collector car value in the future.
Yeah, I mean, once again, I was just telling you this before we started this podcast. GM has this way of like kind of sneaking beautiful and forward-thinking and cool cars under the radar, and then they kind of get done with them, and then like 10 years later, people are like, holy shit.
You're giving this car a lot of credit. Yeah. I would call it purposefully handsome.
Holy cow, sorry.
And look at the inside. It's got the two-tone seats. I wouldn't have done the white. I would have done like a camel here. I did, as a matter of fact.
How much is it?
This car, the way it sits, is about $141,000.
Boy, that's a lot.
But here's the thing. Their resale is actually pretty good. You know, our friend Miles, he bought one, drove it for free.
It's all right.
Put miles on it. It wasn't a garage queen.
Well,
and then the star of the show. Okay, let's talk about trends. What does this tell us about the industry?
This tells us that Korean design is alive and well.
No, this is American design, but built in Korea.
Yes.
But what does this tell us?
I don't know. What do you think of the Avista? Are you a big fan?
I'm a huge fan.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Not because I grew up on Buicks, but because this is where GM should be going. Not 6,000-pound Lyrics and 9,000-pound Escalades.
Affordable Vistas, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, this is $23,000.
Look, I think Buick has struggled to figure itself out, right? They for a long time, they were basically just rebranding Opals.
Yes.
Which is kind of, you know, in itself, not a great DNA play. And now they're kind of finally starting to come out of the woods, and now they're kind of trying to figure out what they really are. I personally think that if I had been, you know, Mary Barra, I would have killed Oldsmobile. I would have killed Buick instead of Oldsmobile.
She didn't have a choice.
Because of China at the time.
The government is who chose who got to live and who got to die.
But yeah.
So I would say under Bob Boniface, who is the global design director, I would also think he is probably the creative director of the company. He's the one that completely redid what a Buick looks like and what a Buick means. Granted, am I excited about this like an Electra 225 convertible? No. But for $23,000, look at this. It's a good-looking car.
Here's the problem. Let's look at Buick's heritage, right? Buick was always like the dentist car, right? So if you had the Chevy, right?
I thought it was a BMW.
No, in Germany, maybe. No, if back in the day, right, the Chevy would have been like the, I don't know, the Baker car,
or
the Buick was the dentist car, and the Cadillac was the doctor's car, right? But so now you're basically building cheap Buicks, which I'm not saying that's wrong, but it certainly isn't on brand for what Buick has, you know, historically been. I should say affordable.
The question, okay, where Buick has historically been, I can't speak today.
You're doing great.
There are too many brands out there right now. So these guys had to make a decision, do we live or die? And now they're competing against Toyotas.
I don't know.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I don't know.
I don't know if there are too many brands. I mean, China has like 15 million brands and they're all thriving.
No, they're not.
Well.
They're literally funded by the government.
Well, that's
and actually, they're starting to par the brands down. They have been for a year or two now.
Because there's too many.
But
still
absolutely.
Many more than we have here in America. And Europe, you can see. I remember I went to Europe, and I was at the airport flying back, and I had some time.
Yeah.
And I actually got, like, the automobile guide to all European cars. Like, American cars, it would be like, what I'm doing is, like, showing, like, a half an inch, right? The European cars would have been like an inch, because there's so many more cars you can get in here. Brands I'm talking about.
So this is where we get into some politics.
Yes.
I'm going to share a theory. I'm going to throw something out at you.
All right, let's hear it. While we're looking at the Z06.
Should we talk about the Corvette first?
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk
about the Z06. Oh, ZR1.
That's the real one, buddy. Oh,
sorry.
That is. Just look at some of the aero. Notice I don't say active aero. Look at the height of the spoiler. Look at the way they've done some of the diffusers in the front of the car. They've got the flicks off to the side. Even on the top of the hood, they're trying to capture as much downforce, because this car, it creates so much movement of air around the car. So it's not just getting the air around the car efficiently like in an EV.
How many horsepower?
It's how do we push 1,000 horsepower.
How do you put that through the rear wheels?
I have no idea. That's why you have to have downforce in the front.
But you don't get downforce from standstill. So the Brits would say that there's two things that are wrong with modern sports car. And one of those things is like...
Too much weight?
No, downforce. Like instead of having lightness, right, where the car is very agile and you can kind of flick it around a racetrack, with downforce, what you end up having to do is the faster you go, the more downforce you have. And that's not a lot of fun. That's counterintuitive. And so, you know, the god of downforce is another one that they would say is not something that we should be worshiping.
So the counterpoint to that,
you
have three choices. Four, actually. You've got the mid power, the full fat, you've got the regular power, and you've got the all-wheel drive.
I mean,
so you choose your downforce level.
I applaud GM for building a Ferrari killer. I'm not going to say fighter, I'm going to say killer, you know, for half the price.
Really what that is a GT2 RS. That's a direct competitor of a GT2 RS.
Fair.
And then look at the, I love the porn here. The porn, look at the size of that air cleaner. Look at that. Now, is it exotic materials? No. This is why it's not a $350,000 car. There's a lot of aluminum there.
For you guys listening on the podcast, we're looking at a cutaway of the new Corvette, and we can see the exposed engine. We can see the exposed materials that they use. It's pretty cool. You can see the size of those.
It's just...
These are like Formula One size
tires. It's amazing to me, some of the detail that they had to put in to make this thing work. There's a lot of Swiss cheesing in the aluminum. In all of the strut brace, notice how much more exotic it is once they get into the strut brace. On this car, at least the basic one, the Z51, the brakes in the back are bigger than the brakes in the front because of where the weight is.
Makes sense. Carbon ceramics, I'm guessing?
Yeah. Fitted, standard on some, optional on others.
Let's kind of move away from GM. We've done a lot of GM. I feel like it's becoming a GM podcast. Let's go over to Honda.
Did you ever get your E-Ray?
No, I didn't do the E-Ray. Initially, I thought about buying one because I thought it would be the ultimate ski car, and being in Colorado, right?
You can get your white shoes.
No,
move to Naples.
They're blue shoes. They're blue. But they are old man Hokas, so I'll give you that.
For the old man.
All right, so here we are at Honda. How do you think Honda is positioned for the future?
You know what's funny? I think Honda is positioned well, because they didn't race into electrification.
Yeah,
they smartly partnered on electrification. And the idea was, people are still buying gasoline cars, and we're not a company that can invest. They can't place a bet and lose. These guys like...
This is brand new. This is the new ADX.
Yes.
Which, as I'm sure you know, is basically built on the HRV chassis. It's very similar. They're making a higher, more premium version of their basic.
I feel like they're doing more Canada than the U.S. with a difference between Honda and Acura.
And this is the A-spec.
Anyway, the point I was saying was, these guys can't afford to make mistakes like Mazda. Mazda has been very specific about their bets, so they stayed with what's selling, and that is inexpensive, high-quality internal combustion engine cars. They're starting to add in hybrids, and you're going to see electrification, but farther down the future.
And the other one I want to show you is over here, so we're at Acura, but let's slip over to Honda, which is right in the middle here. I want to show you the new Passport, and this is certainly a trend in the industry, right?
Very much so.
Where you take what used to be an on-road car, and you make it off-roady. In other words, you make it more lifestyle. And, you know, the new Passport feels very much like that.
I think we should ask Andre, what do you think of the design of this?
Trail Sport here.
I love the new Passport because it's just boxy, it's cool. I mean, especially the Trail Sport version, which is off-roady. I love it. What do you think?
I think it continues the trend of everybody's trying to copy the Defender.
Basically.
It works, it sells.
Basically.
Yeah, and Land Cruiser, same thing.
Absolutely, I love the Land Cruiser.
I mean, from the back here, this could be Land Cruiser-ish.
Yeah, we got to show them, that. I'm sure you did another video, but that 4Runner with the
we'll get there.
I want that.
But
so
the way
bad.
We're going right now, we're going to get halfway through this before we run out of time. We are definitely
so
not.
So should we pick up the pace and continue over there?
Let's keep going, yeah. Okay. Well, I want to go by.
Enough of Honda.
I want to go by
you know
Hyundai.
What? Speaking of trends.
Yeah.
If you had to guess, what sells more, the Chevy Blazer EV or the Prologue, which effectively is the same car? Which one sells more?
I know the answer.
You know the answer.
Yeah, and it's surprising.
It's surprising.
The Prologue sells more.
It's shocking how this
car. It's actually selling really well.
I personally think it's a good-looking car. I did get to drive it. I think it's screwed together well. I love the way in which it drives. It doesn't feel like an electric car. It actually still has some, I don't say driving dynamics, but good ride quality.
I completely agree. I think the Touring, which gets pretty pricey, might be too expensive. But the
how much is the Touring?
I think you're up to like 60K at that
point.
That's
stupid.
Yeah.
That's my problem with all these cars. But average income can't afford a $60,000 car.
Let's go over to Hyundai because they just unveiled two new cars, and they're right up there.
The Intium.
Yeah, one is a new hydrogen car, and I don't know about you, but I just don't see hydrogen becoming viable in the near future.
Shall we tell them a little history here?
Go for it.
How long have we known each other?
God, 10 years, maybe
15
longer?
Years. And 15 years ago, they told us hydrogen is going to be a thing in 5 years.
Well, here it is. It's right there. It's a thing.
And there's no infrastructure.
It looks, I like the back. It looks a little bit Aztec-y, and the car itself looks a little
the front.
Yeah, like the Rivian R3X.
That's cooler looking, though. That's cooler, badass.
Yeah. But it's got there. That same kind of vibe.
And look, it's got like the Volvo, Subaru, the wheel wells that have the cladding on it.
How do you turn those wheels? Look how, I mean, there's no room to eat them. They must rub.
This is what you call a China doll. It is literally held together by chewing gum and spit and goes 3 miles an hour.
And we know that because it's got cameras for rear mirrors, which are illegal.
Although that new Ioniq 9, the ones we saw, they showed us cars from other markets that had the digital mirrors.
And it's got the pixel design language, which I like.
You know what's funny? That there's a lot of Ioniq 5 in this, but you know what else? You look at this, and I see the Kia Soul in the daylight opening.
I do too.
And then I love this separate, where they've got the C and the D pillars and this triangle here. I love this detail.
It's a little Aztec-y. There's just a touch of Aztec. You know what? You guys agree?
Yeah, I don't see Aztec. You say Aztec.
Yeah.
I don't see Aztec.
I see Aztec, a little bit.
I don't. I haven't seen you in a while.
I haven't seen you in a while either.
We got to keep filming.
He's a real designer.
I believe it. He's wearing all black. I knew
Cadillac
that the second
16.
I saw him.
He designed a Cadillac 16.
He decided to dress as a...
He designed concept cars like 15 years ago for Bob Lutz, this guy, even though he doesn't look that old.
There you go.
And he's an old man. He's 75.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me that. Wow.
All right. Thanks. Now you're becoming...
73, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, this man has done more cars than most people around here.
What's his name?
Cedric.
Thank you, Cedric.
Thank you.
Taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot, all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you, while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service, real-time updates only in iOS mobile apps. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
All right, let's keep going. This is another new car that was just introduced. And you remember that Kia had the EV9, which is the three-row SUV, electric. 2 years later, we now have the Hyundai Ioniq 9, which is based on the same chassis. But let me ask you this, Motoman. What do you think of this? This is definitely the most interesting part of it.
You're putting me in a tough position because you're asking me the thing I hate the most, and that's the man that designed it.
Okay. All right. Well, do you want to confront him on that?
Yes, I do want to confront him on it. Yeah. We'll try to get him. Why don't you vamp a little bit and I'll get him.
But don't have like a conversation on the side because...
No, I understand.
Okay.
Like I have... He thinks I'm an amateur. He thinks I don't know how to do this. I'm going to pull the big... He's the big cheese of Hyundai design.
He doesn't know how to do it. Because you'll see, he'll start talking. Anyway, what we have here is a new Ioniq 9.
I need you.
The Kia.
I need you for a minute.
You've got to finish these guys. You get me for a minute. 2 minutes. Sorry. 2 minutes. There we go. I'll be there.
The Kia just came out with the EV9 GT.
Yeah.
And here we have the Hyundai version of the three-row SUV.
So,
and this is pixel design to the max.
Quick question. Yeah. Which design do you like better?
I like the boxy.
Let's go around the front. Like, let's show them the front.
I like the boxier Kia.
Okay, so you got the, hips here.
Yeah.
Come on over here, Andre. Show them the front here. You got the pixels.
Yeah.
This area here they call the cartridge. And the reason why they call the cartridge, it's like the old days where you would put in a cassette tape. What they're doing here is they're putting all the ADAS stuff. It's all hidden here behind the glass. So this way, if you do actually get into an accident, it doesn't cost $15 million to repair the front of the car.
I think that this is more futuristic.
It
whereas the EV9 is a little bit more...
it's traditional design.
A little bit more Defender, as you said.
So here's the reason why. Notice that the rake of the windshield, it's much faster. And so what they do is, this is a triangle here. This whole thing is a triangle. As opposed to, you look at that car, it's not a triangle. It's kind of like a trapezoid. When your eye is trained for the trapezoid, not for the triangle. And the first car to do that was the Cybertruck, which you owned.
Yes.
Or owned still.
We still own.
Yeah.
You know, Tesla has certainly introduced a lot of good and bad design trends. Like the door handles. I mean, Tesla wasn't the first to make flush door handles, but now everybody's doing them.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody's doing them.
Yeah.
You know, getting rid of all the buttons and controls, putting them in the screen. It's become an industry-wide thing. And I think for the worse, not for the better. And I think a lot of people would actually agree. You know that new Bugatti, the Tourbillon, right? That actually has real mechanical instruments. And I'm hoping that that ushers in a new design language so we're not putting everything in the screen, including like vent controls, another horrible trend.
So big thing with Volkswagen, we'll see it over there. They actually put a real knob in there. Let's see if we can get Simon. I will be...
Yeah, I know Simon too. I met him in Korea. He's a great guy.
Simon's a good dude.
Yeah, he's busy. That's all right. We'll keep going. It's all right. I don't want to bug Simon. I love Simon. He's, you know, he's British, right?
Yes, and his father was the chief engineer of Aston Martin.
I did not know that. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, he introduced the whole pixel language that, of course, Hyundai has now adopted. You know, and he does something that's really unique, right? A lot of car brands like Audi, for example, are those Russian nesting dolls, right?
Yes.
Where like an A3 is the same as an A4 or an A5, right? With Hyundai, every design is unique. Right, there is a design language, but you don't have the same grill, which the Germans love.
There are parameters that bring the cars together, and I like that he's done that. He was at Volkswagen Group many years.
Here's another one that looks like a Defender.
Defender, yeah.
Yeah.
So, do we like this or do we not like this?
I like it.
I love this from the front three-quarter. I don't love the back.
Okay, well, let's look at the back and see what you don't love about the back. Does this have that little handle? Yeah, it's got that little handle, right? It's got this little handle so you can
come up here and do this.
Yeah. And then you can get it, the bird poop on the roof. If
you can, if you look back at TFL archives, you can see Nathan do that.
And
that's a real treat.
If you guys are looking at this, we're looking at a Santa Fe that's actually wrapped in kind of a matte brown
color. This is an $1,100 paint job. It's not a wrap.
Oh, really?
That's actually a color you get from Hyundai. So the thing I don't like about the rear, it's too narrow.
So I was just over at Kia, and they do a matte, on the new Sporties, they do a matte paint job. Guess how much?
$1,100.
$250.
Wow.
$250. So $1,100 here at Hyundai, Kia $250.
If you think about it, you should be giving me $1,100 back because you're giving me less. I'm getting less material, so why should I pay more? They're kind of borrowing that trick from Porsche. They're very good at doing that. This was bad. Did you drive this thing yet?
I did. I love this car.
This is, I can't believe how much I love
this. Bright orange Ioniq 5N, which of course has pioneered fake shifting, taken fake engine node into the EV space, has made an electric car fun to drive, which is something that maybe Porsche did with a Taycan, but there are very few fun to drive.
I would argue this is much more fun to drive than a Taycan, even the new Taycan Turbo GT.
So I don't know. You have driven it?
I've driven the Taycan Turbo GT.
I trust you,
The Taycan Turbo GT melts your face. It's faster than this, but there's something about this because they've given you the sensory input of sound and the ability to change the torque. I know it doesn't sound like a big deal, but when you have torque shifts, that's what telling your body how much control you have over the car. And what's fascinating about that, everybody that went on that drive, everyone went into it saying, this is a gimmick and it's not gonna work. Everybody came out gobsmacked.
Well, we got a couple more brands. Let's do this. Let's start over at Volkswagen, then we'll kind of move over to Nissan and end up at Toyota.
Okay.
How are we doing on time, Andre?
We're 36.
Okay, yeah,
we got plenty of time.
We're good. Do you want to do anything about Tesla you want to talk about? Since this is important. I have never seen Tesla at a car show except for Chicago last year. Now they're actually at a car show. And here we have this brilliant idea of a two-seater cab. I love it.
I love the look, actually. It's been very Tesla, but I love it.
Why would you put four seats in a cab? You know, I mean, autonomous. This is Mr. Musk's idea. You buy this, and then at night it ferries people around, and then at daytime it comes back home to roost.
I don't think you buy it. I think the whole idea
is a shared car.
This is a different future. You know how
this is a concept, right? This is not...
Absolutely, concept.
Yeah, yeah. I shouldn't say that because that was built to look just like the unveiled. Yeah. They're pointing at the Cybertruck, so maybe this is what it will look like.
I think the overall shape will be the same.
Yeah.
But this is something you and I—they started selling us about 7 years ago. The idea of you won't own anything and like it, and you're basically you'd get up in the morning and you'd call a car like an Uber, it'd come and drop you off and go to the next person. That's what this is.
Car enthusiast hell. That's what
I would agree.
Yeah.
And call me crazy.
Yeah.
Now we're talking trends again. I think there are enough people out there that wouldn't buy into this future. Like, I personally wouldn't. And then there's enough people that don't live in cities that couldn't do that.
Also, I'm going to kind of jump on Andre's turf. Cybertruck.
Yeah.
Best-selling electric truck in the country.
By how much?
By quite a bit, actually. Yeah, so like it outsells the Lightning. Well,
not by double. No. Just, it's difficult to tell because Tesla doesn't really report on Cybertruck, but they are number one. Not by a whole lot, but they are.
But they outsell the Ford Lightning, which is, you know, an F-150 basically, which is the most popular vehicle in America. They're outselling the current Silverado EV, the Rivian. I mean, you know, the Silverado EV has not been on the market.
So before we leave Tesla, that's a fascinating statement, and I'll tell you why. So you just told me that is the best-selling electric truck, and I'm going to show you the best-selling large luxury car.
And
notice I didn't say electric. This outsells the S-Class, the 7 Series, and the Lexus.
And the Model 3 over there is the best-selling. Well, actually, the Model Y. Model Y is the best-selling car in the world. Period.
So this is my way of saying. Now I'm not an electric car devotee. Most of my viewers know this about me, but for those of you that like to crap on Elon. If you look at how he's disrupted multiple industries, instead of getting angry at somebody, you should spend some time and understand why they're successful.
All right, I'm gonna just jump in here. I agree with him being very disruptive and innovative.
Yeah.
I also think Tesla's in trouble.
Why so? Why?
Because to me, in the past, new cars have been the lifeblood of any car company.
Yeah.
And he has no new product outside of the Cybertruck. That's it. Right now he's selling basically, I mean, the other problem is look at the Model 3, the Highland, right? It looks like the old Model 3. I know Rivian does the same thing, and I know that's a new paradigm, but I'm not sure it's going to work. Like, I wouldn't bring that home and then show it to my neighbor because he'd be like, what'd you do? You got another Model 3.
Okay, so not that I have a horse in this race, but devil's advocate.
Fair.
What electric car is going to outsell that right now or for the next 5 years?
I think the IONIQ 5 is doing really well.
No, it isn't.
Well,
the volumes are terrible compared to other compared to other Hyundais. The volumes are terrible. There's no business case for Hyundai to continue that car. The only reason they're doing it is because governments tell them to.
How about the Equinox?
Same thing. Governments are telling them to do it. Doesn't sell well.
It's too early to tell them. It hasn't been in the market for that long.
But this guy's making money on these things now. He's been making money on these things for a long time.
Well, he's been making money on selling. For a long time, he's been making money on selling EV credits, right? The company has been more.
But he's making money on the manufacturing.
So
now.
But he's been sucking on the teat of government, you know, longer than much of these other companies. Well, okay, but Volkswagen in Germany, that's a whole other thing.
I would agree with you to some extent. If we were talking 3 years ago, yes. Okay. But now, if you look at what they're doing with the manufacturing business, they're making money on the cars. That's how they're able to cut the prices. I'm not arguing with you about it. I just want to point out.
No, I agree.
Because I see your point. I think they should have new cars. But the reason why I don't think he's changing the cars is that cab, I think he's banking on that, not that.
Okay, fair, which is trouble in itself. Also, year over year, you know, most electric car makers, year over year, I'm not saying it's going to be next year, sales are up, Tesla's down. Mm. So their sales are going the wrong way. And part of that, of course, is, you know, the fact that he was the biggest cheerleader for Trump. And I think that, especially in California, probably hurts sales of Teslas.
You know, I have a theory.
Yeah.
I can't prove this. It's been two weeks,
yeah.
So I can't prove the theory. People can get pissed off all they want about, you know, this person in the White House. But at the end of the day, if I'm spending $60,000 on a car, people will put aside their politics to save $5,000.
You might be right. I'm not going to argue with you, but I'll tell you something personal. This is me.
Yeah.
You know, so we bought a Cybertruck.
Yeah.
And I'm agnostic. I don't care if it's powered by electrons or dead dinos, right? I love all cars.
Yeah.
So to me, you know, more choice, the better. But we bought the Cybertruck because it was the most significant new truck, especially electric truck that came out. And then we wrapped it in the American flag for the 4th of July, and then we started getting a lot of hate because it looked very, you know, MAGA, but that wasn't our intention. We didn't want to be political. But like Andre, did you do that? Andre, did you do that range test when the Honda came by? Were you on that or no?
Let's come on over here while we're talking.
Yeah, why don't you tell them what happened when you did a recent range test? Yeah, we got to talk about the new Tiguan. Or do you say Tiguan?
No, I have no idea. But let me go over there and you go into this side. I need to show you something.
Yeah, there was somebody very aggressive, and they were very unhappy.
Go on the other side.
Okay. 1 second.
I'll tell a story. Yes. Anyway, we were doing a range test on the thing, and Honda came up and started tailgating Andre, and then he went around and started brake checking him, and then he came next to the truck and started, like, flipping him off. It's like this guy in a Honda.
Really?
Yeah, for no reason. We were just driving along on the highway, and I think that's what happens when you politicize, you know, the powertrain of a vehicle.
See, you can... I can give you examples of the other way.
I'm not disagreeing.
And you know what? Put aside propulsion systems, Elon Musk, or this election, I think there's a degradation of our society where people don't have any decorum to each other. That's really what's going on.
Yeah. All right,
I'm going to say this and I'll be done with it.
Okay.
People say it's politics. It's not. It's a culture war, and everything is downstream of the culture. You know what? Debate that in the comments.
All right, let's talk about this. Tiguan.
So, this is a new Tiguan, right? But I'm going to show you why it's important. It's not because it's new. It's not because I drove it, actually. It drives very well. Hopefully, I drove the German market car, but hopefully they don't change the tune, which they usually do, because the ride quality, it's a combination of the best balance between suppleness and composure.
Yeah, the Germans know how to,
they know how to do
suspension,
it.
Yeah.
But they bring it here and they screw it up. So I told the people at Volkswagen, don't screw it up. Anyway, there's that. But this is why it's important. Remember this UX we saw in the ID4? It's terrible. It is horrible. Because all this like slider crap.
Well, remember, look, they have four switches for the windows.
I was going to get to that.
Yes.
You're giving away the
Sorry,
headlines
I'm ahead of you.
So the screen had a slow processor. You had this crazy slider thing. You had only two window switches here and a toggle. And there was no way to interact with it. And it was so painful. I literally got on camera and said, take this out to the woodshed and never bring it back. However, they have brought us a knob. Look at this. And the knob, you can't see it here. I don't know if I can get this thing on here. The knob, it literally has a toggle switch. So it's like an Apple Watch. So you can switch between volume control and you can switch between the modes of the car. Now, I wish you actually could do fan speed, that kind of stuff. So the combination of having a real knob and then four buttons here, and then the thing that Roman didn't give away, the buttons on the steering wheel are real buttons again. So all the bitching and moaning that me and Roman and Andre and Nathan did for years, it's finally paying off, because now this actually was a good car to drive, because the UX is good.
Remember Honda had that slider for the volume on the steering wheel and people just hated it, and finally went back to a knob?
Terrible.
Yeah, and I think Volkswagen will eventually get there. Completely.
You know what? Let me clarify that point. I said because the UX is good, I got too excited.
Yeah.
Let's test it a bit more, but it's got promise. How about that?
All right, I like that. Yeah, it's not quite there. It's
yeah.
All right, and we won't talk about the ID Buzz because we actually talked about it.
No, I tell you. So already. Something important. Yeah. Big reason why this is a big deal. Probably people, why am I pissing and moaning? It's because I used to suggest this is the car you got to buy, but when they switched to that new UX, it ruined it.
Yeah.
So maybe that'll fix this car as well. Yeah. Anyway, let's press on.
All right, let's keep going. That's the Mark 7.0. 8? Mark 8?
Something like that.
It's Mark 8.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Well, let's keep going. So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Another car company that struggled recently is Nissan, right? Oh. They had no new product, right?
For the now they got time. A lot.
Now they got a lot. They've got the new Rogue.
Patrol, Murano.
Murano Kicks, right? They have the Pathfinder is kind of sort of new.
You know what? You're going to laugh at me, but I drove a new Kicks. It wasn't terrible.
It's so rare.
I thought Nathan was crazy, but
Nathan loved the damn
Kicks. He loved it.
Yeah.
The transmission is still god-awful. But it's a good-looking car.
Here's a good example of something.
Yeah.
We've all been whining and whinging, for all you Brits, about the CVT in Nissan, yet they keep sticking to it.
For two reasons. Number one,
fuel
it's
economy.
Cheaper.
Yeah, fuel economy.
And number two, fuel economy.
Right, but at some point, don't you want to listen to your customers, right?
I would think there's two reasons. Number one, your customers don't really say anything. It's only us that bitch about it. Customers don't care. But the bigger issue is you have a lot of warranty claims. The things I never talked about on camera in my episodes, once they get to 80 to 100,000 miles, there's a high incidence of them kind of crapping the bed.
Here you have another, well, two off-roady versions of basically what our street crossovers, you know?
Like, this the would Rock be a Creek. Great car if it had a real transmission.
Yeah, we just
because the transmission is so bad, I'd always say Toyota.
We just took it off-road into Andre's Pit. And it did okay, but, you know, once again, no low range, bad approach angle, bad departure angle.
I'm still struggling with Andre's Pit.
Vaguely dirty? Vaguely naughty?
What else should we show them?
Another one, car that's not really selling is the new Z.
Oh, nobody's buying them.
Yeah. What do you think that is?
Let me give you an anecdote. So we were up at Pebble Beach this year.
Yeah.
And usually you see all sorts of sports cars because people...
Sorry, gals, I got into a
what
flow
you
of
see,
women.
Yeah, I don't know, it must be a high school tour.
Yeah, something.
It's good to see, though, young kids at the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I've made myself sound old. Anyway, it's all sorts of car people
come to
Pebble Beach.
I better follow my group.
That was a little creepy, don't you think? Yeah,
oh,
creepy.
Come on. Oh,
yeah.
God, no. Yeah. No, no, no.
So we go to Pebble Beach, and it's all different car people there. You know, there's the guy that's got the Pagani, but there's the guy that's bringing like a Supra or an M2. There were no Zs.
I don't want to get in front of Andre. Why don't you go show? We'll talk about it. We'll kind of follow you, but we won't get in front.
We'll go on the side.
So, another car in a Corral. Cars and Corrals, TFL's new YouTube channel.
I want to love this
Andre,
car,
Cars
but I
and Corrals,
love it.
TFL's new YouTube channel. There you go, right there. Why isn't that selling? Why is this not selling?
Because it's too much money. It's got the same problem as the Supra. It's called the Corvette. That car in a Nismo is $65,000, and at $65,000, you're going to buy the Corvette. That's why it doesn't sell. And it was based on the old platform, which was great in 2009, but it's 2024.
Yeah. You're right. I think they didn't update it.
Come over here. I want you to meet somebody. Come here. Come here, Victor. Come here.
Meet a dog, I think.
So what you guys don't know behind the scenes, we get these cars delivered to us, and you don't know who the people are delivering those cars. However, Victor is the guy. And Victor
doesn't deliver my cars.
He delivers my cars.
Oh, yeah.
You're not lucky enough to have Victor.
No, we don't know, but
Victor is the one
that
delivers the most important cars. He delivers the Porsches.
Oh.
So if there's if it's like a crazy AMG.
Let me ask him, what's your favorite Porsche?
Oh, the GZ3.
Touring, right?
Touring.
Absolutely. What's the most beautiful one you've ever seen?
George's car.
Absolutely.
What's your dog's name?
That's actually Janelle's dog.
Oh, it's Janelle's.
Jackson.
Hey, Jackson.
He's
how are you? Good boy.
Model for Nissan.
Hi, buddy.
Good
so
boy.
I want you guys to meet the Victors of the world, because without Victor, we can't do what we do. So a huge thank you for everything you do. It really means a lot.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank
I
you
thank
so much,
you
Victor.
On behalf of working Moto Man as well.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Always a pleasure.
Thank
you.
Bye.
Victor.
Yeah. Yeah, so just so you guys know, the way it works is there are car managers that manage the fleets. So when we get vehicles, the manufacturers basically contract with a company that then manages their fleet in every city.
Yes.
And people like Victor deliver the cars, and they're unsung heroes. I agree.
The three biggest companies are Page One, Drive Shop, and Prestige.
Yeah. So we're great people.
Yeah, say hello to Connor.
All right, we've already done
I
this.
I love this.
That's a
I know you did
concept,
it, but I love it. I love it, and it's the right color. I love it. I love
another
it.
Another SEMA
it.
Concept.
I love that, too.
Another SEMA concept.
Yeah.
But let's go look at the non-SEMA concepts. Toyota is a car company that, if you were to pick one company that's killing it,
Toyota.
This is a company that
without
has the least cars on lots, there's still a way to, not for the Supra, okay? That's once again, we talked about that with the Z, but they have gone hybrid on everything.
But the Supra sells better than the Z.
It does.
When that car came out and the Z came out, I said on camera, unpopular opinion, I'd rather drive the Supra.
I'm going to tell you something. 50 years from now, this is the car you're going to want.
I agree.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
This is the one you're going to want. And the manual.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
You know, have you driven the Z4 manual, the six-cylinder?
I have not.
Oh, my God. It's even better than that.
Is it better, really?
When you have the top, it's incredible. That episode blew up on me, by the way. People loved it. That car, that's the one you want, not the Supra.
But Toyota has been the one that
Let's go over here to the camera.
You could say has been dragging its feet on electrification, right?
But that's a feature, not a bug.
I'm not saying it's a bug. I'm just saying that's what people would say they've been doing. But yet, they have now gone hybrid, everything.
So here's an important distinction.
Yeah.
And I'm going to kind of throw us under the bus here.
Okay.
The only people that have been saying, oh, my God, you should go more electrification, or Toyota's been dragging their feet on electrification, are car journalists, which, again, don't want to get political on you, but they kind of think one way. And they don't think business. They don't think, how do I manage a multi...
Well, man, there's a lot of car journalists that hate electric cars because electric cars...
No, the vast majority are so... We're going to disagree on this.
I could name like 10 of them right now that hate electric cars. I can name 10. Because the problem as a car journalist...
Out of 300.
I don't know all 300. I'm just saying, as a car journalist, you're an enthusiast. And basically, electric car... It's like, how does an electric car drive? Like an electric car, right? We said today that there are two that are different.
Yeah.
The Taycan and the Ioniq 5N.
Yeah.
But all the other ones are kind of the same. They're kind of
in this area, I totally disagree with you.
You think they drive different?
No.
Electric cars don't drive the same.
No, I'm talking about the journalists.
Yeah.
Most car journalists are the ones that are pushing the Toyotas of the world, saying, you didn't move fast enough on electrification. These people have they don't know how to run a business. This guy's thinking 30, 40 years in the future.
There are EV publications, which I would agree,
even mainstream publications.
But I think most.
Look at the Bloombergs of the world.
No, dude, I listen to Bloomberg podcast. You know, Matt, he loves Hellcats. The dude loves AMGs.
I'm not saying I don't love those cars, but they're the ones that are saying Toyota's been dragging their feet.
Well, that.
And
was
Toyota hasn't.
It was a bad choice.
It's a feature, not a bug.
That was a bad choice of
and
words.
As a result, if we look in the future, I'm willing to bet that Toyota's going to be, A, they're going to be an independent company, and B, they're going to have the most money in the bank, which means C, more research and development.
All right. Other car that I love, let's get away from this.
This is too loud.
There's some kind of game show over here. Let's go look at the Land Cruiser, which I think is another hit for them. So what they did was they took a vehicle that was iconic, right? They made it smaller, they made it cheaper, and they're selling.
I feel like instead of being here, we should try to swing back to Hyundai and close with Simon.
I might not be there. I mean, it's...
Let's at least walk there, because we'll get away from the sound and we can talk about
the
Land
Cruiser. Let's go around the back.
Yeah.
I don't want to go around the front.
But
I'm saying Land Cruiser does really well. Tacoma is selling. But having said that...
Did the Sequoia sell?
No.
Because I like those.
Andre Sequoias don't sell, do they? Not much.
They're better than before.
But they don't sell.
But you know, Toyota has its own problems, right? Here we're walking from the Tundra, 100,000 engines that have to be replaced. I mean, a conservative estimate is that Toyota's going to spend $3 billion.
I can't even imagine. Yeah.
Replacing Tundra engines. Andre, we're kind of stepping on Andre's territory, but he knows that better than me.
Okay, let's point something out. Speaking of trends, this car just came out, and it's already got cheap financing on it.
Well,
that's a huge statement.
Well, I think the reason for that is because the V6 was very popular,
yeah,
and people don't trust the four-cylinder turbo. I keep hearing that over and over again.
Yeah.
Ours, you know,
over that way.
Ours. I don't want to hash that out.
Which one?
Our Tacoma that we bought. What do you think of like this one?
I love this car.
The Crown Signet?
I think this is a beautiful design. I think people should buy it, but the problem is no one will buy it.
Yeah, you know what? It's like China is really, pushing electric cars, but Japan has this old aging population.
Yeah.
And so this is a very tall car.
Yeah.
So it's very easy to get in and out of,
yeah,
right? So if you're older, not me, then this is...
Comments below. Is he older or not?
But this looks like a sedan, but it's kind of a hybrid, right? Not in terms of its powertrain, which is also hybrid, but in terms of kind of its design.
Yep.
So it's very easy to get in and out. It's very tall.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love this car.
Yeah.
I think the only drawback is they put the wrong transmission in it. I think it should have the hybrid max platform and have a real transmission. We got to get away from that thing.
Yeah,
that's super
God.
Loud.
What are they doing? Why are they doing an intro?
It's super loud.
They should save that for tomorrow when there's public here.
Exactly.
Not a bunch of jaded automotive drivers.
But shockingly, that thing drives very well, that station wagon.
Yeah, I love it. I love the Crown, too.
And if they were, you know, I think there's an opportunity. Comments below. If they were to put in just some tuning to the suspension, bring in the Hybrid Max platform, maybe tune it out to about 400 horsepower, put in a real transmission, A, would you buy it? And B, how much would you spend for it? I think there's an opportunity there.
Palisade.
Great driving car.
XRT, once again, off-road. Now, this is getting serious.
That's not factory, is it?
Yes, it is. XRT. This is.
Those wheels are factory?
Yeah, the XRT. This is the off-road XRT, I think.
Holy moly.
You don't think this is factory?
No, I don't think that's factory, my friend. I think that's accessory through the dealer.
But XRT is the off-road
version. It is the off-road version. Yeah.
Well, look over here. You got another
great
one.
Great value with these things.
Same.
Well, this is the Santa Fe.
Same tires.
Yeah, I think that. Yeah, see, it's an accessory wheel.
Yeah. And one more. Look.
Think about that's still in the 30s.
Yeah.
And people piss and moan about all this money they're spending on cars. You can buy that car at 35, 38 grand. When it first came out, it was 32.
Yeah, but you know, we're not having fun unless we're complaining.
Okay, let's get back to complaining. Cars are too expensive. The car manufacturers are all screwing us.
I am looking for his very colorful suit.
I'm looking for his colorful suit, and I don't see him.
I don't see it, dude.
Let's see.
Yeah, no, we're back here. I miss Simon. He's a great guy.
Great guy. I wish you guys could meet him. I did an interview with Simon. I'm going to do a shameless plug for my show. When I shot the Ioniq 9, I also did a second episode where I did an interview with Simon. You'll see that there.
What do you think of the GV60?
I don't like it.
You don't like it?
Out of all the three cars, this is the least interesting in design. It's the busiest in design. I think the interior is too busy. I don't think they needed this.
You like that the knob that turns around?
I hate that.
Really?
Hate it. But we do have to show them something. Andre, let's come around the other side.
Well, once again, it's a car in a corral.
The funny thing about this car, you know, Genesis, they've had very few misses over the past 10 years.
Yep.
I feel like this and the G90 have been a miss. Look at the sticker, look where it's from. This car went up the hill at Goodwood Festival of Speed. This very car here. I think that's pretty cool. So the biggest problem with this car, why I think it's a miss, is not this car itself, it's the Ioniq 5 is so good.
Yeah.
Why would you pay the extra money for this when you can get the Ioniq 5?
Yeah, I remember when it was first unveiled, there was a lot of buzz around it.
Yeah.
But since then, I have not felt or heard much.
I don't see him on the road, even
I don't see him on the road, yeah. This may be another one. Let's end up on this. You also love classic cars like
absolutely,
I do.
Absolutely, yeah.
Will any electric cars ever be collectible?
Well, the Tesla already is.
Will they brick themselves? Well, the first Tesla Roadster, I'll give you that. Or will they just brick themselves so that you won't be able to, you know, actually use them 10, 15 years? Like, will the battery management system still work? Will the battery still? I think that's the fear that people have, not just with electric cars,
but
with hybrids.
I think
and with plug-in hybrids.
I think it's more than that.
Yeah?
And I'm going to sound cliche on this. There's no soul.
Yes, I agree.
And that's part of the problem.
They're kind of toasters, aren't
they? Of people trying to covet something without a soul. Like, if you think about it, the reason that classic car values are a function of three things. Number one, were they unique or rare when they were new? How many were made? And is there any racing history? How many electric cars can say that?
All right, but let me put it this way. Is that something that's generational? And I'm going to date myself, right? Because we grew up with internal combustion and with, you know, Countaches on our walls and all these great supercars, but maybe today's generation, you know, cares more about the tech in here than they do about what powers that.
So I think I agree with you from a different perspective. I agree with you that today's generation is transient to some extent. I have a 3-year or 2-year agreement on my phone and then I get a new one. And that now is being applied to cars, and those cars, meaning most of the electric cars, are being designed with that obsolescence in mind. Think of it as what General Motors back in the 70s was planned obsolescence. That's what we're getting today, and I think that's what's missing. And if I were a betting man, I'd say you're not going to really see a lot of collector electric cars.
Well, there you have it, guys. a fun walk around of one of the halls here at the LA.
Yes.
Motoman,
always
thank
a pleasure.
You very much.
Thank
if
you
guys
having
want
me.
To see some great interviews, head on over to Motoman TV on YouTube.
Yes, sir.
Or you'll always find fascinating and I think thoughtful interviews with some of the people that are making and shaking this industry.
Thank you, sir. Yeah. Like Simon, who blew us off today.
Simon, yeah, well.
And we still love him.
Yeah, we love you, Simon. And guys, remember, head on over to alltfl.com for more news, views, and real-world reviews. And we shall see you next time. Ciao.
Bis später.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.